This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 25th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about cougars finding their way into the Midwestern states and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Congressman Tim Johnson says he might vote for the Senate resolution condemning the president's plan for more troops in Iraq if it's brought up in the House. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Johnson reacted to an initial news report about the Senate resolution and said he didn't know the details. But the Urbana Republican says if it's as it appears to be, he might support the measure, which says a troop buildup in Iraq is not in the national interest. Johnson says the voters made it clear in the November election that they want fewer troops in Iraq, not more.
It seems that many, many military minds, geopolitical minds and otherwise would agree, and I do not believe that the Bush administration is on the proper track when they seek to send another 22,000 American men and women over into harm's way.
Johnson says he cannot support sending more U.S. troops to Iraq without a clearly stated objective, but he also says he's against any efforts by Congress to block the troop buildup by cutting funding. The Senate resolution against the troop buildup is non-binding. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
State public health inspectors returned to the new Champaign County Nursing Home building this morning for what county officials hope will wrap up their construction standards inspection of the building. County Board Facilities Committee Chairman Steve Beckett says inspectors will be looking at the plumbing in one wing of the building. He says once that passes muster, one more state inspection will take place, this one for the building's nursing operations. Nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says that inspection could take place next week. Once the building passes, he says the long-delayed move-in to the nursing home could start immediately. Move-in would take 3 to 4 weeks. The state of Illinois could place even tougher restrictions on young drivers. It's part of an ongoing effort to reduce the number of teens involved in car accidents. The proposal includes setting an earlier curfew for young drivers and extending the period of time they must drive on a learner's permit. Paula Davis is the Pekin school superintendent. 15 kids from Pekin and other parts of Tazewell County have died in car crashes over the past 2 years. She says that's brought home the point of making sure the most inexperienced drivers are better prepared.
There are some constant reminders. We're certainly thrilled that we haven't had any fatal crashes to deal with this year. And we think kids are making better choices, sadly, because they had to experience the reality of losing a classmate.
State lawmakers and the governor would need to agree on changes to teen driving laws. The plan would also establish new penalties for street racing and would lengthen the time in which a new driver would be prohibited from having more than one teenage passenger. Teen drivers routinely face distractions from cell phones to unruly passengers. A new study released yesterday says those factors contribute to thousands of fatal crashes every year. Teens often take the wheel amid commotion, angst, or fatigue that would be challenging even for older drivers. A study by Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia says the distractions are a deadly mix combined with teens' lack of training and driving experience. Teens are getting the message about drinking and driving, but the study says the message now has to be expanded to include distractions that help make traffic accidents the number one killer of teens in the U.S. The study is based on a survey of more than 5,600 high school students across the country. A pair of former state workers say Governor Vlad Blagojevich's office was the source of pressure to hire politically connected applicants. Don DeFreitas and Michael Casey claim they were blocked in their attempt to create a subjective electronic hiring system. They filed documents with the Civil Service Commission yesterday showing intervention by the governor's personnel office on several hires. One document shows an aide to the governor asking about an applicant who had given $500 to Blagojevich's campaign fund. Casey and DeFreitas were personnel managers at the Department of Central Management Services. They were fired last spring. A Blagojevich spokeswoman described the emails as, quote, incomplete correspondence. Illinois guidelines insist that when they're on business and thus getting reimbursed, Lawmakers and their aides must use the most economical mode of transportation possible. But according to an audit released yesterday, Illinois officials often take state aircraft at a high cost to taxpayers. Amanda Vitticke has the story.
They could take a train for $17, drive a car for about $90, or elected officials and state workers could take a plane from Chicago to Springfield. Both United and Blue Sky Airlines offer one-way flights for under $150. Compare that to the $270 it costs taxpayers when a passenger makes that trip on Illinois' aircrafts. Despite the cost savings other means of transportation would bring, over the past few years, state-owned helicopters and planes have made that trip between the cities more than 7,000 times. Senator Chris Lawson says he drives when he goes from his Aurora home to the state capitol. The Republican says the flights are a bad use of taxpayer money.
The state taxpayers are having to subsidize an airline run by state government when I really don't think that that's our specialty.
But a spokesman for the Illinois Department of Transportation says the state shuttles are essential for employees and legislators who go back and forth so they can conduct the state's business. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Some of the people who lost their jobs with the Indiana Toll Road last week are not happy about their assignments to new state jobs. The private company that took over running the toll road last year terminated about 95 employees. All were eligible to be placed into other state government positions. 60-year-old Linda Brenneser has been assigned to a road crew job with the State Highway Department after 12 years as a toll taker. Her new job includes filling potholes and driving a snowplow. After 26 years with the toll road, Sue Hirschler has been assigned to the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City. She's refusing to report to work. State Personnel Department officials say they'll work with the displaced workers to see what other options are available. The third time was anything but the charm for a Decatur teen sentenced to 10 years in prison for what prosecutors say was his third time robbing the same tavern. Macon County Associate Judge James Coriel sentenced 17-year-old Terrell Adams yesterday for the January 30, 2006 holdup of the Hard Hat Inn in Decatur. Adams pleaded guilty last month to one count of armed robbery for the heist. Prosecutors say it was the third time in 4 months that he'd robbed the bar. At the time of the robberies, Adams was 16 years old and on juvenile probation. Macon County State's Attorney Jack Ahola says he believes Adams can't ever be rehabilitated. But defense attorney Chris Bradley says Adams' behavior was improving. He'd been undergoing counseling and helping his grandmother. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Wildlife biologists say cougars are gradually moving from the mountain west into midwestern states. Usually the large cats avoid people, but in one suburban neighborhood, residents are worried. They say they've spotted a cougar in their backyards 6 times in the last 2 years. They're worried about their pets, and they're worried about their kids. Bob Allen reports.
On a June morning 2 years ago, David Hannawalt was hunched over a flower bed in his backyard, loosening the soil with a hand rake. He says he caught something out of the corner of his eye moving toward him.
Well, I started to prepare myself because it seemed like a large dog that was making a beeline for me.
As if it was going to jump on you or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. And as soon as I stood up and turned, it veered off. And the way it ran, the way it moved, and its ears, I swear it was a cat.
The cat disappeared into a patch of brushy woods behind his house. Hannawalt says he became more convinced it was a cougar about a month later when his wife, T, saw a big cat with a long tail sauntering across a neighbor's blacktop driveway.
And it was just walking up like this, just walking up. And then it just went right off into those woods. Casually. Wasn't in any hurry.
The creature's nonchalance is what has people in this northern Michigan neighborhood worried. Some of them have read David Barron's book, Beast in the Garden. It recounts how people have built their houses in foothills surrounding Boulder, Colorado, right into prime mountain lion country. Then they saw cougars coming into their yards, taking their dogs and cats. Eventually, a cougar killed a high school boy when he was jogging on a wooded trail outside Boulder. There are significant differences between the situations in Colorado and Michigan, but author David Barron says if people are seeing a cougar and it's not running away from them and in fact begins to approach them, then that can be a warning sign.
That's what was seen in Boulder in the years before there was a fatal attack not too far away from Boulder. That's what was seen in Missoula, Montana, back in the late 90s before a little boy was attacked who did survive. But again, if there are multiple reports of what is clearly a cougar in one neighborhood, it's probably worth looking at.
Back in the Northern Michigan subdivision, Patty Behrens lives in the house at the end of the cul-de-sac. It backs right up to a stretch of woods. She was walking up the street one early morning last August when she spied a big cat heading into her backyard. She took off running for her front door because she remembered she'd left her house cat on the back deck.
And I ran through the house and onto my deck and down the two steps and went, I can't believe I did this. It's so embarrassing, but I went, shoo, shoo.
It didn't shoo. Instead, Barron says, it turned and took two steps toward her. She took two steps back onto the porch. Barron describes the animal as enormous. She says they watched each other from a distance of 15 feet for about half a minute.
The face, when we looked at each other eye to eye, I felt like I was looking at, I knew I was looking at a lion. I knew I was looking at a lion. There was no doubt. It was very muscular. It never crouched down or anything, so I didn't feel threatened. But it stared at me, and then it turned and walked around my flower garden behind the tennis courts and kept going.
These days, Patty Behrens keeps a watchful eye out when she takes her morning walks, and she won't work in her garden in the early morning or late evening anymore. Next to her house is an open field where kids play soccer and neighbors walk their dogs, and it's where T. Hanwalt's sons fly the remote-controlled model airplanes they love to build. But she's stopped letting them come out here by themselves.
Day or night. I mean, they used to run around this neighborhood and play with all the children at night, and we're not doing that anymore. I can't have that. It's too scary. In fact, I'm looking to move.
State wildlife officials won't investigate unless there's clear evidence of what could be a cougar. That means a photo, a paw print, maybe some scat or droppings from the animal. The people in this neighborhood didn't get any of that, but now they have their cell phone cameras handy. For the Environment Report, I'm Bob Allen.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect mostly sunny skies today with a high only in the mid-20s. For tonight, partly cloudy, the low around 15, partly sunny Friday. Not as cold, the high around 35. Temperatures will dip down to the single digits overnight next week. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.